Hello, I'm Randy.
And I'm Beth.
And this is Brother Knows Quest, the podcast where I, your host, introduce my sister to the wonderful world of tabletop role-playing games. Beth, do you know what we're doing today?
Nope.
Okay, I didn't think so. Again, I have another Tiny D6 book to talk about. It is this.
Tiny Cthulhu. I thought Cthulhus were not tiny.
Well, it's an easy version of the game to play. If you like cosmic horror and all that, you can try Tiny Cthulhu. It is honestly easier to run than Fate of Cthulhu. I should also say, I haven't played this, so this is more of a discussion or an explanation than a review, as with a lot of the things we talk about.
Pretty much everything.
Not everything. Also, I've decided to change up the format a little bit. I'm not going to read text by text. Just seems kind of silly. So since there's so many things in this that were in the last Tiny D6 things, I'll say go back to Tiny Dungeons in a few episodes back, and you'll be able to understand more of the skills stuff that we covered already. I'll name anything that's completely different, such as setting or small rules changes due to the fact it's a horror game. Tiny Cthulhu's author is Alan Barr. Sorry again for the name. I've heard it 1,000 times on another YouTube channel, but I still cannot remember it when it comes to me saying it out loud. And it was also published by Gaia Knight Games in 2020. It has how many pages?
177, if you don't count the two
character sheets
in the back. Okay.
Yeah. The first few pages up until 21 is how to play. And then you call their characters investigators, as with most Cthulhu cosmic horror style games. It will be investigators. You have archetypes, your traits, weapons, items, equipment, stuff like that. And then you have the Game Master section from pages 37 to 102. And the last 100 pages, 102, starts Cults. That's that page's name, Cults. You couldn't be a Cthulhu enthusiast if you didn't know anything about a cult. Then we go into the micro settings that come with a lot of these Tiny D6 games. How many are there? I think there's 10 from what I'm reading here. And there's all kinds of different ones of those. I'll go into those in a moment. As for the archetypes you can play as, your class, if you will, you have more Cthulhu things. You have investigator, explorer, mystic, spiritualist, investigator, soldier, veteran, and writer. There's also dilettante. I can't pronounce that either. I know what it is, kind of like the socialite. I think it's called dilettante.
Diligente.
That's not how it's pronounced.
I think that sounds better. Diligente.
I won't go into too many specifics about those because you should kind of know. The only ones that might be confusing is the mystic and the spiritualist, but you should know what an explorer, an investigator, a writer, a soldier, and all that can do, especially if you read any, you know, Lovecraft. You kind of get the idea of some of them. And you have all the traits and things. They are very similar, if not exactly the same, as you would get in Tiny Dungeon core book. Now, you can play with, I should have said this a long time ago, all of these games can be played by themselves without Tiny Dungeons. I just say refer to our episode of Tiny Dungeons, because I don't want to cover the traits and weapons over again, because most of them are just about the same, because they're so vague. It's really useful. They leave enough room for you to add them into any system like this. This is wonderful when they've done it this way. Some people might get tired of it, but it's meant to be a fast, fun game. There is a section for different setting types. You have, they call them Tiny Pulp and Tiny Noir. You know, if you want to go to the whole black and white theme, you get through a lot of, 30s in the town kind of stuff, cities. I think of black and white movies filmed in Chicago or New York. And then there is corruption tests also, which come from it being a horror game. Those are the two things I said I would mention. If you know anything about a Cthulhu game, and if you clicked on this episode, I'm assuming you know the basics. They have the sanity and you have corruption in this. But I will go into some of the tiny settings. Another episode is going to be very short because there's not a ton to cover that's different from the rest. This should be our last Tiny D6 episode, by the way. And then I can go into other games and systems. I do like the idea of covering them all at once, though, so that's why I did this. The first setting, the micro setting, is Arkham High. It gets inspired by Breakfast Club, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Freaks and Geeks, Riverdale, and Smallville, especially season one, and Victoria Mars. I never heard of that last one. Or Freaks and Geeks. Have you?
I've not heard of the last two.
Since it's known as Arkham High, its abbreviation is AHS.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's our high school.
Yes. The story is it was built in the 1920s, following the city's recovery from a typhoid epidemic. 1905.
Always makes things interesting.
They have a lot of clubs. The main basis of this is the clubs and the extracurricular activities. They have like the debate club, the chess club, the AV club, marching band, glee, drama, You also have some unique offerings you wouldn't find in other schools, like Ancient Religions and Antiquarian Book Club, because it is cosmic horror. Why not have a book that will drive you insane? It leans heavily in the idea that kids think adults are crazy and stupid, and adults don't trust kids, and kids don't trust adults. It's just the way it is. Probably shouldn't allow your players to jump in and try to call the cops every time something turns around. Otherwise, the cops just drive them home. Be like, what are you doing, kid? What do you mean there's a tentacle monster eating your teacher? What are you going to say?
Did you not notice the Kingsport in here?
No.
Oh, it says, Kingsport is a coastal town located to the east of Arkham, situated on tall rocky cliffs, primarily a tourist town. Kingsport is a domain of the wealthy Massachusetts elite, often covered in picturesque snow in the winter and colorful leaves in the autumn weather, but hiding dark secrets beneath its calm, I don't know how to say that, architecture. The elite who live in Kingsport are likely to be involved in cults, and investigators drawn there will find themselves hobnobbing with the rich and important at parties, plays, or other social events. Good job, Kingsport. You got the cults.
It's funny because where you're near Bristol and Abingdon, and right below all those is Kingsport, Tennessee. I'm not sure if Kingsport, Massachusetts is a real place. I don't know.
I don't know. The only Kingsport I've heard of is the one we're near. Well, not even really near, but kind of near.
I don't know if there's a place in Britain named Kingsport. I bet there is, because Abingdon and Bristol also have a twin or an older sibling in the UK. Something you should also ask your group before the game starts is, how common is the supernatural in this world? Do you want it to be something commonplace, or do you want it to be more slice of life, kind of just normal life, something weird happening? Why is Arkham like this? And what role does the institutions like law enforcement play in the student's life and life in general? You have a lot of different stereotypes to guide you. You have the activists, the journalists, and teens who want to go on about the injustice in the world. You have the band kids. I don't need to explain those. You have the emo kids, the geek kids, the jocks, the mean kids, the nerds, the out kids, which is LGBTQA+. The popular kids, the skaters, the stoners. I always like the skaters, even though I never skated.
I used to hang out at the skate park all the time, and I never skated.
I also hung out with emo kids.
I never
had
an interest with it.
No, a lot of times skaters and
emo kids
overlap.
But they are fun people to hang out with.
Yeah. I never had a niche or a clique to hang out. Like, I never cared to do that. I just kind of,
no. If you're a decent human being to me, then sure, I'll hang out with you. If you're not, then I don't want to hang out with you.
My friend group that came over to hang out at my house all the time consisted of a sporty kid, a nerdy kid.
Gothic.
We called them, we live in a rural town, so you have the redneck styles, what we'd call them. Literally, our parking lot was called the redneck parking lot.
Yeah, the redneck parking lot was so much easier to navigate and park.
It's because they had the bigger vehicles and they knew how to park.
Yeah.
All the big trucks. I like the fact they have it in here that all kinds of, and there's no reason these can't overlap, like I just said.
Yeah.
There's no reason. There's some hooks for your party. Why does the cafeteria food taste so weird? Suggested titles: The Mystery of the Meat, The Cult of Cafeteria Workers, or Where HAS the Chess Team Gone. Where has the chess team gone? Why is it capitalized? I thought it was HA.
You remember those R.L. Stine books?
Yeah, I do.
That's what those titles remind me of.
Yes. And then there's also one. The school swim team has an ancient and venerable history at AHS, along with the highest turnover rate of any sport. Why is that? Suggested titles: Fish Bait, Someone Tell Me That's Just Our Mascot, and What's Just Brushed My Foot. If you've ever, was it Shadow Over Innsmouth? It's a Lovecraft story. And spoiler alert, the whole town worships Dagon, a water god, or a deep god of the ocean kind of thing, but it's more cosmic, of course. So he looks like a fish, and all the people are starting like turning into fish monsters. I'm pretty sure the army destroys the town in secret. The old gym burned down in 83, killing almost half the girls' basketball team and two coaches. The new theater was built on the same spot. The Phantom of the Backcourt, Guys and Ghosts, or Does It Feel Hot in Here to You? Interesting title options there. I do like the idea to give you title options. This is the guy who wrote this. Who was he? Who wrote this one?
Alan Barr.
No. Each of the mini settings are written by different people.
Oh, well, I have no idea.
The Arkham Hype was written Ron Blessing.
Oh.
He put a lot of work into this micro setting. And then there's another one called The Dark Forest. It's a tiny Cthulhu, tiny dungeon crossover. Nice to see that they've done that. It makes sense that these could be crossed over. There's magic in both. It's a strange and dangerous place. It could be in both worlds, in modern or that, or you could send characters one setting to the other. I didn't take as many notes on this one, mainly because I just like the idea of a dark, creepy forest where you could have people from both worlds show up. It's a lot scarier if you're coming from a modern era and getting sent into this forest where monsters lie, especially if there's magic, real magic, like crazy magic, not just Cthulhu stuff. And then there's another one called RG359. It's a mining job on an asteroid, and you're supposed to be kind of left alone 2 years, but the 2 years when it's going around, this asteroid is moving out of the signal, it goes through a portal, it ends up right outside a planet, a breeding planet. As it shows up, it's supposed to be a planet on the other side of this reality, and or an asteroid that the Yagoth used to breed on. So you have cosmic monstrosities showing up to see who's trespassing on their breeding planet or their breeding asteroid as it goes through this rift, and you have to fight those off. And then you have The Longest Days by Steve Diamond. Its themes are heroism, sacrifice, cosmic horror, World War II, survival horror, madness, mad science, weird wars, which is a setting for a lot of games, but there's a whole weird wars genre included with the Savage Worlds books we covered before. They have Weird Wars 1, Weird Wars Rome, and all kinds of different settings. But this is a World War II themed one in Tiny Dungeon. I don't really need to cover that. Imagine the Nazis. Hitler had a thing for the arcane, apparently, in a lot of settings. I don't know if he really did. I think he kind of did. And in this one, it actually worked in the setting it considered to have happened. And it looks to me like the Germans are suffering just as much as the Allies, because it looks like a trench with one of the bunkers in it ripped open and a tentacle beast eating on some folk.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then it goes into a whole thing about how this happened. It's a whole background. And I like the idea of running a Weird Wars campaign, a short one, just to see if somebody would like it. And then I'd hop over maybe into Savage Worlds, where it's a more fleshed out thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have, like I said, lots of books already about it. If you want to do Weird Wars Rome, I think they even had a Weird Wars Vietnam on an older version of the setting.
I'd say that was probably a weird war to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine World War One. It was weird to everybody. It was it was the first time the world at a whole seen these crazy machines, the tank and planes on a regular basis being used. If you want to try a horror game or a Cthulhu style horror game, a cosmic horror, and you want to try Tiny D6, try this. It'll be simple to hop into. Listen to the other ones, other episodes about Tiny D6, you'll know that it's a very easy game to run. It's a very easy game to just pick up and play, make a character for, choose one of these micro settings or don't. There's a lot more micro settings in here I didn't cover. There's one called The Book of New Worlds and The Slithering World. What is it? What They Saw There. I don't know what that one's about. Under the Blood Red Sky, Red Snow, White Death, and Unspeakable Voyage. Out of all the horror games, like the original one I showed you in Fate of Cthulhu, would you play this one over those, you think? We covered the original Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
The one that used the D100s.
Yeah.
And then we had the Fate of Cthulhu, which...
The Tiny D6s seem to be
the way
easier
to go. Yeah.
For me. I also like the fact that the whole thing you mentioned about they have the Goths, they have... The rednecks, they have
That setting was nice. Arkham High. It was a good setting.
I like that. I would like to, as you mentioned, most of the people we hung out was from a whole different group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Or stereotypes, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
I would like to mix those together in a group.
I should have mentioned, I didn't, that also in the Game Master setting, they have enemies, which I'd imagine are mostly enemies you would find in the other books we covered. But right below that, they have the Mythos Bestiary, which would probably cover more specific tentacly things, locations in the Mythos, like Arkham. A lot of New England places that really don't exist, I'd imagine. I didn't copy anything down to talk about those. Because I assume if you're looking into a Cthulhu thing, you know a little bit about it already. That might be a wrong assumption on my part, but the book has a good way of introducing you to all that stuff if you want to get into it. That's about all I got to say. I also should thank you. Someone's been using our affiliate links. I was surprised. I went to get something on DriveThruRPG and seen that we had store credit, and I looked and we have people bought stuff on affiliate links. Thank you. I don't know if it was one person or a bunch of people. I just know what they bought. I don't know who bought it or anything else like that. Thanks again for using the affiliate links to buy things. I see you bought stuff I haven't talked about yet. I might take some of that information and make a episode about one of those games, because some of them I haven't considered covering. And now I see there's stuff that people are interested in. Also, I didn't do it this time, and I might not do it at all because I kind of like the store credit. I found out when I was looking at that we could actually use those as cash. I have been saying it's for store credit. It is for store credit, but you can cash it out. I didn't know that. Apologies. I didn't cash it out. I'm going to use it for store credit, and we'll continue to do so. And if I ever change that policy, I'll let you know. So everything you buy on there will help just use for store credit to buy more games to talk about. It ain't like we're making a fortune doing it. It was like $5 because it's only 7% of the purchase goes to us. So again, thank you for doing that. That does help out. That's a PDF or something we can talk about. Ain't it, Beth?
Yeah.
Unless Bethy, do you really want me to cash out the half of $7 to give to you?
No, there's, if it's just $7, then no, I'm okay.
If we start making enough to make it unreasonable to actually buy that many PDFs, yeah. I will change that and I'll let you all know when we do. But for now, just know it's going to store credit to buy more PDFs. I had no idea until I looked at it that I could get it added to a PayPal.
Yeah, either that, or if you have trouble like where we had so much going on and we were scrounging up change pretty much to try to figure out how we were going to pay the hosting fee.
Oh, yeah, we did have a problem this month
with the hosting fee. You know, maybe cash it out then and put it towards that, I guess. But other than that, I'm not.
As it is, I've still got a whole backlog of books to cover.
Yeah.
I've got tons on my shelves to go through. But it's nice. Well, maybe you might let it accumulate a little bit and see what kind of PDF bundle I can grab at once or something. But I just wanted to say thank you and then explain. I didn't know I was lying the whole time. I said it was store credit only. I did not know that. Until I had some on there, I had no idea. And I felt bad for lying.
I would just say you weren't lying because you've only been using it for store credit.
I didn't have any until recently.
So
it was, I don't know how long they've been buying. I just know that they have bought and I've seen that I had store credit.
Oh, well, there
and
you go.
There's a hold period before I can even use it. So I had, like I said, if I bought anything, I didn't know until here recently that I had store credit. This will be in an affiliate link in the description as well for DriveThruRPG. I don't know if it's in print, but it might just be in PDF, because the last one, when I got it, I have it in print. You looked at the book. But when I went to make the link earlier, it only had the PDF version. But we know it was physical copy because you was looking at it, wasn't you, Beth?
Yeah, I've got the physical. Maybe it's just not available on that.
No, it's where I buy them all from. All the tiny D6
Well, maybe
things.
They're out of them at the moment or
they
something.
Print them, they print on demand. So you order, they print. So that's why it takes about a week or so for it to show up. But you get your PDF immediately. Whatever the case, there'll be a DriveThruRPG affiliate link in the description below. I don't know. Do you have anything else to say other than what you've said about this?
Well, not really.
Really look into the Tiny D6 things. There's all kinds of them. If you don't want to buy Tiny D6, feel free to use that affiliate link now that I know that it works that way. I didn't know you could just add anything for a while to your cart and it would still work as long as you clicked on the affiliate link first. Any purchases you make on DriveThruRPG will help us build our library. Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard here, we're part of the Gruesome Gaming Group Podcast Network. We're on YouTube, Twitter, all those places. There'll be a link in the description right above the affiliate link. It will be a Linktree link. It'll take you to all of our socials. The first link in that list will be our website for Gruesome Gaming Group. It'll have all of our podcasts. You can listen to them, subscribe there if you really want to try. I think I put a tipping option somewhere in the description as well. I don't remember if I have that set up. But I know you can tip if you want to, or just use the affiliate link if you want to help us out. That's great, too. I don't think anything else I need to say about that. Go listen. We have Horrific History and Hauntings on that link. It will be a podcast where my sister tells me about everything in the title. Horrific History, Hauntings, some of it's true crime, some of it's islands that were covered in plague-ridden bodies for a while, ghost stories, anything. We'll try to make it clear in every episode which things obviously happened and which things are just ghost stories, I should say, unless you're a real believer, in which case they might be real too. We try not to cover orbs, things like that.
No, we don't like orbs. Those are specks of dust, in my opinion, or an insect that your flashlight hits a weird way.
We have a few episodes on cryptids, the Mothman stuff and all that. Listen there. And then there's another podcast called Leveling Duo, where occasional episodes drop. It'll be me, my sister, or me and my friend Dakota, one of us. I'll always be in the group, most likely. And we talk about video games we enjoy or something video game related.
Did you want to mention you figuring out the Discord thingy?
Yep.
Because eventually when Joey's out of my house and not screaming at his friends on his own Xbox in the same room, I would like to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because that makes it difficult.
We could stream now. I've said that for a long time. Then scheduling issues happen. It was insane. We got it set up now. The PC's are properly set up. the Xboxes are set. We figured out how to do two voices without using the weird Xbox streaming thing. It was so bad. I was streaming Elden Ring. I'm putting it on pause until the Shadow of the Erdtree DLC drops. I just didn't want to have to replay the game later or do a new game plus with the DLC. I wanted to continue the one playthrough with my character without worrying about the DLC being weird. So it's on pause. We're streaming other things. We'll go into that. It'll be on the links to Twitch and YouTube will all be there. If you want to listen to us on YouTube instead of here or wherever you get to listen to this at now, it'll be an option. Feel free to leave a comment or like, share, whatever you want to do. Let us know what you think. Reach out. There's an email in the description as well. You can reach out. Let us know. Any way you want to contact us is fair, and we will happily see it.
And we try to respond as long as it's a respectful one.
We haven't had an unrespectful one.
Yeah,
a non-respectful.
We haven't. So that's a plus.
And obviously people are supporting. Again, thank you. Thank you. We're not begging for money. We're just mentioning that if you want to help, that's a way to help and get yourself something nice as well. A nice PDF or book or whatever you're interested in. I guess that's it. Thank you for listening. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been Brother Nerd's Quest. Bye-bye.